Chapter 9. The cops came first, then the paramedics, then Al. We gave preliminary statements. Ranger was trundled off to the hospital, and I follow the squad car to the station. It was close to 5 by the time I reached Vinny's office. I asked Connie to write out separate checks. $50 to me, the remainder to Ranger. I wouldn't have taken any money at all, but I really needed to screen my calls, and this was the only way I could buy an answering machine. I dearly wanted to go home, take a shower, change into clean, dry clothes, and have a decent meal. I knew once I got settled in, I wasn't going to want to go out again, so I detoured to Kuntz Appliances before heading back to my apartment. Bernie was using a small roller device to paste price stickers onto a carton of alarm clocks. He looked up when I walked in the door. "I need an answering machine," I told him. "Something under $50. My shirt and my jeans were relatively dry by now, but my shoes still leaked water when I walked. Everywhere I stood, amoeba-like puddles formed around me. Bernie politely pretended not to notice. He shifted into salesman mode and showed me 2 models of answering machines, both in my price range. I asked which he recommended and followed his advice. "MasterCard?" he asked. "I just got a $50 check from Vinny. Can I sign it over to you?" "Sure," he said. "That'd be okay." From where I was standing, I could look out the front window, across the street, into Sal's meat market. There wasn't much to see. A shadowy display window with the name lettered in black and gold, and the single glass door with the red and white open sign affixed by a small suction cup halfway up. I imagined Bernie spending hours peering out his window, numbly staring at Sal's door. "You said Ziggy Kulesa shopped at Sal's?"
"Yeah. Of course, there's all kinds of shopping you can do at Sal's."
"So I hear. What kind of shopping do you think Ziggy was doing?"
"Hard to say, but I didn't notice him coming out with bags of pork chops."
I tucked my answering machine under my shirt and ran to my car. I took a last wondering look at Sal's, and I pulled away. Traffic was slow in the rain, and I found myself mesmerized by the beat and the swish of the wiper and the smear of red brake lights appearing in front of me. I was driving on autopilot, reviewing the day, worrying about Ranger. It's one thing to see someone shot on television. It's quite another to see the destruction firsthand. Ranger kept saying it wasn't a bad wound, but it was bad enough for me. I owned a gun, and I was going to learn how to use it correctly. But I'd lost some of my earlier enthusiasm for pumping lead into a body.